This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It's the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a longtime tradition here that started back in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. A big day of programming. I think we have Illini basketball coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today, and then another big high school basketball matchup with state implications. The number 5 team in the state taking on the number 8 team in the state, according to the Associated Press rankings. That's Rockridge and Beecher. Beecher remains unbeaten on the year. I think they went to 21 or 22-0 last night, and the Rockets survived a battle from the Sherrard Tigers in a hotly contested game, and Ty Taylor had the call last night over on County Road. And what'd you think?
Well, it's just like Rockridge, they win those games every time. You know, I mean, those close games like that, they just pull them out every time, and last night they're able to do it. They never trailed in the game. Got up 8-1 early, and then I think led by as many as 9 on 3 separate occasions. Sherrard was able to battle back every time. It looked like Rockridge was going to pull away. Sherrard kind of would close the gap. They got it within 1 a couple of different times in the fourth quarter, but like we said, you know, never tied it or took the lead. And it just felt like last night for Sherrard, every time they had a chance to either tie the game or go ahead, the shot they took just hung on the rim and then fell out. And then they turned it over a couple of times, down by 2 as well. So just a couple of missed opportunities and some unfortunate bounces for the Tigers last night. And, you know, they come up just short again in one of these big games.
Yeah, and I know the Carton kid, I was over there, he got in foul trouble early. I thought that kind of impacted the situation. Did he pick up a second foul in the first quarter,
yeah,
or early in the second
first
quarter? So that I thought that kind of impacted the flow of the game. But then it just seems like Rockridge always hits a big shot when they need,
yep,
it. And they did that again last night.
That's what I said to Coach Harris after the game, too, when we were talking on the post game. I said, you know, it felt like every time you needed a score and every time you needed a stop, you got it. And, you know, those kids for Rockridge have played in a ton of big games. And last night was definitely a big game. You know, basically first place in the conference on the line. Rockridge is really kind of taking control of the league now, where everybody else has at least 2 losses. And they're now 9-0 with just 3 games to play. So, you know, they're 1 win away from clinching a share of the conference title and 2 from winning it outright. But, yeah, they've been there and done that. And games like that, you know, those kids never get rattled or anything of that nature, and yeah, just able to pull it out again, which is kind of what they do year after year after year.
Well, it's nice here, because I heard you say last night that at this Riverton shootout, Rockridge is going to be matched up with Bree Central, the number 1 team in the state. So I was looking at our coverage this year on this station in terms of 2A boys basketball. I think we probably have the greatest observation of who we think is going to win state. So we're going to get Bree Central in a couple of weeks against Rockridge. They're 1. We saw Peoria Emanuel play Sherrard. They're 2. We've seen Beecher play Mercer County already. They're 5 and unbeaten. They'll play Rockridge tonight in a WMJ broadcast game over in Beecher at 7:30. And then Rockridge, who's ranked 8th.
And Byron number 4.
Yeah, that's cute. And Byron, I was going to mention that too. Byron number 4, who is still unbeaten, right?
And they played Sherrard, yeah.
So What do you think about all those samplings?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's cool. Like Coach Harris said last night postgame, the next three Saturdays for Rock Ridge. Tonight they play Beecher, who's number five. Next Saturday they play Rock Island, who just beat Moline last night. And then the other thing with that, too, is Rock Ridge beat Rocky last year, if you remember, on the road. And then the following Saturday, February the 10th, they'll play Breeze Central, who's number one in the state. So, yeah, I think, like, the team that has impressed me the most has been Manuel, just with, like, the speed and athleticism that they possess and how quickly they play and just the pace they go up and down the floor. And I got a chance to see Byron once. You know, they're solid, very physical and athletic team. Beecher's really good. Their top five are good. Then the Rockets, too. You know, I mean, you can never count them out, having been to the state tournament 2 years in a row. And I think they're, you know, tonight's a big game. If they can win tonight, I think that'll really kind of get things moving in the right direction for them. One of these kind of like showcase games around the state where a lot of people, I think, are going to be paying attention to the result tonight between Rock Ridge and Beecher.
Yeah, and then, so the Breeze Central Rock Ridge game, is that the final game of the regular season or not?
I think they play a couple times the following week, but it's the last Saturday of the regular season. Okay. Yeah, and then there's the following week before the regional starts the Saturday after.
So that's pretty awesome that you said originally they were going to play Columbia, but apparently the tournament or the shootout organizers changed that and set this
matchup. I think they posted the wrong schedule. I think they had that pegged and then they switched it and forgot to update the like document or whatever. So yeah, it's Rock Ridge and Breeze Central on that February the 10th.
All right, so we get set for, I saw the Eagles, they won by 30 last night.
Yeah.
I saw we got a nice email from, or on the email chain from the Weathersfield coach. Did you see that or not?
Yeah.
About thanking the Mercer County fans for acknowledging the kid that scored 1,000 points.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't hear about it. Landon Sowers, his name, yeah.
But Eagles won by 30-plus
yeah.
last night. I still can't believe they're not the number one seed in the LTC
tournament. Yeah, it makes
tournament.
No well, yeah.
This is me speaking, but, I mean, the way they've played
right.
this year
and
the schedule they
and
played.
And I get it. You look at, like, the schedule, like, you know, I know Princeville's off to a good start, but I'm sorry, they wouldn't beat Rock Ridge. They wouldn't beat Girard. They wouldn't beat Macomb. They wouldn't beat, you know. Right. Well, maybe they beat Farmington, but, you know, and that's probably me making people mad, but it's the fact of the matter. So we'll see. I think Mercer County is definitely the favorite in that conference tournament. I don't know, maybe the top three, but outside of that, I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of competitiveness.
And the tournament's hosted by the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
So you have the when does that start, the LTC tournament?
Tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah, there's 6 and 7:30 are the game times, 2 games played in Aledo, 2 games played in Joy. Mercer County plays in Joy tonight, which is kind of cool.
Who they open up with?
Knoxville.
All right. So, and then the championship of the tournament is next Saturday. Yeah. Weather permitting, and it looks like the weather's going to be good all this week.
Thank the Lord.
All right. So, on the program today, we're going to talk a little bit about this provisional licensing issue with the IHSA involving officiating. So you can get a provisional license at age 15 and 16, and you're paired up with kind of a veteran official. So we'll talk with Kennedy DeBailey, who I saw her officiate a junior high volleyball game at Mercer County this week, and she is the daughter of Nathan DeBailey, the high school principal at Orion. So we caught up with her, and it's great to see some youngsters, and then you get paid. So we'll learn about how this provisional licensing thing works, again, for 15 and 16-year-olds. You can't become a fully licensed official until the age of 17. And then we'll bring on Kurt Gibson from the IHSA in his final year. He's kind of the guy behind it who organized the provisional licensing, and we'll talk with him about that. So it's good to see. I think last night, I believe, it looked like in the JV game, at Girard Rock Ridge, a young kid, I think maybe with a provisional license, was officiating. I don't know. Or he was a brand new official. He looked like a high school kid or a college kid that was officiating the JV game last night. So good to see some 15 and 16-year-olds. I was impressed with this youngster officiating at Mercer County Junior High because it's not easy doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool that that's an opportunity for kids to do. And I know, like, the DeBailey girl's a very good volleyball player, so it's cool that she's kind of staying engaged with the game at the younger levels in the off season. Yeah.
All right, and I don't want to bury the lead, as I tell people, But Kurt Gibson also told me yesterday that Mercer County will host an IHSA bass fishing sectional in New Boston this spring. So that's our lead. That should have been our lead today, as we'll get that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about fishing, so there's nothing I really can add on to that. Wait, where is it at? Where'd you say?
Going to be in New Boston. Yep.
Oh, boy.
So we'll get that. And a personal note today, I want to pass along condolences. Kurt Gibson is the son-in-law of John and the late Judy Elder. Judy Elder passed away this week, and, of course, connected to many of our guests, Kurt Gibson's son-in-law, Chuck Grant, son-in-law, of course, husband John Elder, been on this station many a times, and son Pat Elder, who was on for an 8-year run as head coach of the Sherrard Tiger football program. So, again, condolences to that great family in Alexis. And, again, the Elders are just such great people. So thinking about Pat and his family and John K. Elder as well. All right, anything else? We talk about basketball. And anything else in play, observations this week? Again, the key showdown game last night between the Rockets and Tigers. And I think the key question is, can they meet again? I mean, but there's so many big questions with so many good teams. We talked about it last week with that sectional complex.
If they play again, it wouldn't be, I mean, it'd be in the sectional championship, because, I mean, I would assume Sherrard will be seated second in the subsectional. Rockridge, without a doubt, will be one. And I could see maybe Macomb getting seated second. I think, though, Sherrard, there's no way they would drop to four. So the only way they'd play again is if they played the sectional title. And there's, like you said, I mean, someone would have to beat Pure Emanuel to get there. And then the other teams on that side are very, I mean, it's going to, the sectional semifinal games will be very tough. And I think, like, the regional title games in the subsectional, you know, locally for us will be tough. You look at Rockridge, Sherrard, Macomb, you know, Mercer County, Kewaunee is solid too. I mean, down the line, there's probably six or seven teams maybe that you could say on the right night could maybe upset a team like Rockridge or knock off Sherrard or Macomb. So should be fun when the postseason gets going. And then, yeah, Monmouth, Roseville, and Farmington are the regional sites.
So, boy, if you would go to that sectional final, or that sectional, and you have Rockridge, Sherrard, Macomb, and Mercer County, that's the potential or not?
No.
For the regional championship.
Yeah, potentially,
games.
Yeah.
And that subsectional, that would be awesome.
Because I think the top four, the way it'll get seeded probably, will be Rockridge 1, Sherrard 2, Macomb 3, and Mercer County 4 is what I would think it would be.
Yeah, those would be.
And I think Macomb
game.
And Sherrard, I mean, could be flipped. I know Macomb lost a couple of games. I think they have 4 losses. 2 of them are without their best player playing. And then I think Mercer County beat them the kids' first game back. But kind of since then, they've been on a roll. They played Rockridge to a 3-point game. And I think, you know, they've got a couple of nice wins. I think they beat West Hancock, who's having a pretty good year. They beat Illini Bluffs, too. So, I think that's probably what the top four will look like in that subsectional, barring, like, somebody kind of falling apart a little bit down the stretch. But, yeah, those are – it's a long way away, but those are two potentially pretty fun games, I think.
Yeah, and it's just so crazy, again, the regional sites then this year and the sectional sites for our area teams going to – Monmouth, Roseville, Farmington, and Canton.
Yeah.
And Bank of Springfield Center for the super sectional. So, again, coming up, we'll talk to Kennedy DeBailey, talk about this IHSA provisional licensing. She's a junior at Orion, good volleyball player, and participating here basically in the junior high volleyball season. And you can get a provisional license to officiate any sport. So we'll talk with her, and then Kurt Gibson up in the program today, and we'll also visit with Brian Roosh. And then what time is the coverage tonight from Beecher?
7:30 is the scheduled tip-off time, and it's the final game of an all-day shootout, so that could be later than 7:30. We're scheduled to go on the air right around 7 tonight.
And they call it the Bobcat shootout?
No, it's sponsored by like some State Farm agent down there, or over there. I think it's Baumgartner.
Okay.
Baumgartner shootout.
Are there any other kind of marquee matchups over there, or what type of teams are they getting?
I forget. There was one team. I think Joliet Catholic is playing the game before Rockridge. I don't remember the schedule, though. I don't think there's – I mean, nothing like the Rockridge-Beecher matchup, you know. So, and then also Sherrard plays again today. They play like 12:30 this afternoon at Morrison. And they beat Riverdale last night. They've had a really weird year, Morrison. Because, like, they played, you know, Thursday night at Mercer County and didn't look very good at all. And then they turn around the next night and beat Riverdale. They were leading Rockbridge at halftime a couple weeks ago. Played Sherrard to a single-digit game earlier in the season, too. So, I don't know. They're a weird team to follow. They have a lot of athleticism, but there's some strange score. And I know they've dealt with a lot of injuries this year, but that's a big game for Sherrard, you know, having to turn around and play, like, what, 18, a little bit less than 18 hours later after you play a game against Rockbridge and lose by one and, like, a highly emotional, you know, very tough loss for them. So, so today's a big game for them to try and get back on track, you know, a long bus trip and play a game, you know, basically right around noon. That's not easy to do, and it's the second week in a row they've had to get on the bus on a Saturday morning and make a pretty lengthy trip.
Well, that's why basketball is so interesting when you talk about the middle of the pack teams. In the middle of the pack teams can lose to some bad teams, but then they can beat some really good teams, and that's why they're middle of the pack. And that's why those type of teams that you mention, you know, they're primed to provide an upset maybe when the postseason rolls around.
Well, yeah, you looked at, like, you know, last season in the postseason, we saw, you know, that West Carroll Regional was weird because Mercer County and Farmington had such great regular seasons. And on the same night, you know, they both got upset by Erie Prophetstown and Riverdale last year, who both, you know, last season were like that, where they had these weird results where they played really good some nights and then other nights are like, geez, what happened there? So, yeah, and I think, like, when you look at, you know, like we're talking about the local subsectional for us, you know, a team like Orion is kind of scary to play because they can catch fire. Like this week when they played Sherrard, you know, they got down 23-9 and then made 6 3-pointers in a row and all of a sudden are leading, you know, and they're a team that's kind of like Monmouth Roseville's like that too, where they can shoot it pretty well from beyond the arc. You know, I just, you know, postseason games are so tough to win. And like you said, those teams that kind of play the way Orion does or Monmouth throws, are they scary? Just because, you know, basketball is one of those sports where really anything can happen. I think like football, you know, normally the better team wins, right? But in basketball, there's so many variables that, you know, make it difficult to go on runs in the postseason.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is what we're dealing with now, really this last two-week stretch, when there's no continuity of practice or games, are you getting a true representation of what that team is? And that's, I think, another issue that's in play here as we go down the stretch in terms of getting a more consistent schedule in teams playing more. But, you know, it comes down to, I always tell people in postseason, too, is the energy level is a little bit different. In a high school basketball season, when you play 33 games or whatever during the regular season, you know, there's just some nights you're not in it. I mean, because it's a 33-game season. But when you get to postseason, most teams are amped up to play, hey, this is regional, it's do or die, our season's going to end if we don't play well. And that's why you can see some of those upsets where you see maybe an 11-13 team, and you're like, where did this team come from?
Right.
Well, it's the postseason now.
Well, and that was like, I know Rock Falls last year was, like, I think under 500 in the regular season. It really turned it on in the postseason, and Riverdale did that too last year. And yeah, just like those postseason games too are weird. And that's why I think one of the reasons I think Rockbridge always has success is because throughout the entire season, from what they've built with their program, every night, whoever they play wants to beat them. Mm-hmm. And they play them differently, and everybody gets up to play them. And that's tough, like you said, in a 31-game season or whatever it is, to every night go in and say, well, we're going to get everybody's best shot. And, you know, they do such a good job handling that. I know they've dropped a couple of games that, you know, I think they felt like they probably shouldn't have, but still 18-3. And we talked about that last year with Coach Shea, too, all the time, where, you know, he wasn't happy with how they played last year a lot of the times. And you look up and it's like, oh, you finished the regular season, you're 26-4. And, like, I know they're not probably thrilled with some of the results they've had, you know, point spread-wise in these games. But, you know, you look at it last night, come off the floor, 18-3, 9-0 in the track west. 39 of their last 40 track games they've won, which is crazy. They won 39-1 over their last 40 conference games. And, yeah, just, like, it's funny because you look at that, and, like, any other program would be like, God, I'd do anything to have a year like that. And they're like, oh, you know, we could be better. So, But yeah, fun tonight. I'm excited to see kind of how Rock Ridge and Beecher stack up with each other. I think that Rock Ridge is probably the best team that Beecher has played, I think. So we'll see how that goes. Beecher's 21-0, so I think they're one of three teams left in the state that haven't lost yet.
Well, and you've seen them play, so what do you think of the matchup?
They're very similar to Rock Ridge in the sense that their top five are very good, and they don't have a ton of depth, I don't think, so it'll be interesting. I think Rock Ridge is probably the better team on paper, but it'll be a close game, especially having to go over there. And granted, like when I saw Beecher, they were playing for the fourth day in a row where they're away from home, staying in a hotel. So I don't know how good of a representation that really was. It was impressive they were able to win that tournament, you know, basically staying 3 hours from home for a full week in Rock Falls when they were playing in Erie. So yeah, it'll be a competitive game tonight. You know, you don't win 21 games in a row if you're not any good, you know. So, and I know they've beat Peoria Notre Dame, which is a really quality team this season, in overtime, I think it was. So tonight will be good. I think Rock Ridge has a slight edge, but it'll be tough to win, you know, there. I'm sure that the people there, it's probably the best team they've ever had. And Rock Ridge is one of those programs where I think everybody around the state at the small school level recognizes what they are. So I'm sure the people there will be ready to play the Rockets. Should be pretty fun tonight.
Where did they get to play Peoria and Notre Dame at? Like a shootout or
Taylorville.
Something? Taylorville. Oh, wow. Did they? Yeah. All right. So maybe about 7:30, you think? Again, so many games.
That's when the tip-off is scheduled to be, 7:30.
All right.
So we'll be on right around 7. And also, Beecher's head coach, Tyler Shireman's really a great guy.
Yeah.
And we talked about this earlier, like last month when they were getting ready to play Mercer County. The connection with him with Rock Ridge is that he's an assistant softball coach at Beecher, and the head softball coach at Beecher is an assistant boys basketball coach. And, of course, Rock Ridge and Beecher like play in the state tournament every year in softball, where I think they've combined to win the last six state titles.
And they'll probably meet again this year because of that freshman pitcher from Beecher.
Yeah, we're used to seeing them in softball, but it'll be kind of cool to see Rock Ridge and Beecher match up in boys basketball. So two elite softball programs and two elite boys basketball teams this season.
And it's interesting you were saying that. So they had homecoming like this week or last week because they don't have football.
Yep,
so
they've never celebrate had football
homecoming
at
during that. Have they ever sparked interest in maybe creating a program?
Their boys basketball coach said, he just said, we've never had football. So I don't know if they've ever talked about doing it. That's kind of interesting, though. It doesn't do topless. They don't have football either, right?
Nope. Yeah. I'd like to hear John Hoshite say, touchdown Beecher, touchdown Bobcats, and touchdown to topless, touchdown wooden shoes.
And I talked to Coach Harris last night. I told him, I was joking when we were ending our interview. I'm like, man, that's a long trip tomorrow. I'm kind of nervous about the drive back. And he's like, if you need gas money, I got you, man.
I heard him say that.
And I said, don't.
You should just drive over with them on their bus.
I said you shouldn't have said that over the air because I'm sure that some of the people, they're like, oh, actually, go ahead and you can actually take that money from him. I said, I hope the WRMJ owners didn't hear you say that, Coach.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ch. Yeah, and Kirk Gibson, when I interviewed him earlier this week, I thought it was great. He dropped a Henry Illinois reference. That's John Hoshite's alma mater. There's some kid that took part in this provisional licenses and now is doing high school games at age 17. Now, could you imagine a 17-year-old kid? I mean, you have to have some thick skin to say, I'm going to walk into this junior high basketball game and officiate with some of the fans behave at some of those games.
It doesn't get much worse than junior high athletics parents, unfortunately, from what I've seen. It's pretty bad when it's like, come on, man, they're 13-year-old kids out there. Just let them have some fun and learn the game.
Yeah.
Does it really matter if you win at that age?
All right, anything else before we get to our interviews today?
Excited for tonight. Should be fun. And then next few Saturdays will be fun for us. We have this one with Beecher and Rock Ridge. Next Saturday we'll have the Lincoln Trail Conference Tournament Championship game. And then the following Saturday, Rock Ridge and Breeze Central at Riverton, so fun stuff coming up.
What's the schedule look like next week then? Is it LTC tournament stuff or is that
on Thursday is the semifinals? I think Tuesday it's boys basketball. We'll either do Rock Ridge and Monmouth Roseville or Sherrard and Riverdale. I don't know which one we're going to do yet.
What day is that?
Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hear from Kennedy DeBailey who's a youngster officiating, a high school student from Orion. Then we'll talk with Kurt Gibson from the IHSA. This is the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WMJ, WMJ.com. Let's talk about officiating. We know we need more people to get involved. And the IHSA offering a provisional license for youngsters who want to get involved in the profession. And this week I was out at a junior high volleyball game at Mercer County Junior High, and I saw a youngster officiating, and I'm like, who's that? And they said, Kennedy DeBailey. I said, what year? Junior in high school over at Orion, so how awesome is that? So we bring Kennedy DeBailey on the air with us. First up, great to see you out there taking on this profession. Tell us how you kind of got started.
So last year, my dad brought up the idea of it to me, and at that time, I was still too young to do it. They didn't have the provisional license out yet. And I was kind of disappointed. I was like, that sounds pretty fun to do. So they ended up coming up with the provisional license about a month later. And so I applied. And with a little bit of help from my dad, I was able to get a couple games and get started.
So your dad is the principal at the high school principal at Orion. So that was kind of a nice, you know, segue for you, kind of knowing a little bit about maybe what's involved. What was the biggest fear, though, for you? I mean, come on, it can't be that easy. Last year, a sophomore, we were talking off the air, didn't even have your driver's license, but you already have a provisional license for officiating. Now, what was the big thing to maybe overcome, you know, some of the hurdles? And I think probably the biggest thing is it a little bit of fear or being nervous?
Personally, there is a little bit of fear, but I've done a lot of reffing through club volleyball, and so it was nice to have that experience, but I was definitely a little bit worried about, like, missing calls, obviously a hard one. I know how it is as a player, is if a call gets missed, it's kind of disappointing, and especially in crucial moments, that's a big changer in the game, and so I was like, I don't want to be that ref, so...
Well, that's great to hear. And here's an opportunity for you to do a little recruiting. So why should maybe some other, you know, high school kids think about getting a provisional license? Now, it doesn't have to be volleyball officiating. It can be, you know, basketball, I'm assuming, or if you want to take on some junior high baseball, softball stuff, maybe you can do that. So what about Kennedy DeBailey here trying to get more high school kids involved in pick up a provisional license?
So it's really nice. I am able to choose my own schedule, so it doesn't conflict with other activities that I have going on. You know, I'm a high school kid. I have other things to do in my life between sports and just being a kid. So it's really nice that I'm able to choose my own schedule. There's a really nice program that like finds games for you and you're able to accept and deny them. And it's easy money. You're there for a couple hours and it's really nice if, like, I've played volleyball almost half my lifetime. And even if I'm not on the court playing, I'm still able to help young people learn the game that I love.
We spoke about your dad being the principal at Orion High School. So provisional license, what is involved in kind of getting the provisional license? Can you take us through the process?
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. I think it's like a $15 payment that you have to make, so cheap. But you sign up for it and you take a test and that's that. They mail you a patch in the mail and the rule books, and you're able to take that test with little problems, and it's very simple.
So your first very, very first game officiating as, you know, basically with a provisional license. How vividly do you kind of remember getting there and getting prepared to say, well, this is, I'm going to do this thing. Do you remember that, you know, first experience,
oh, yeah.
I guess? What was that like?
Oh, yeah. So my first game was at Cambridge. So luckily it's pretty close to my home. I walked in. I was terrified. I will be completely honest. I was absolutely terrified. But everybody was so nice. I've never been to a game and walked out having a bad experience. Normally the parents are super nice and understanding, especially because I'm young. I have had a lot of people come up to me and give me compliments because they're like, wow, it's really nice to see somebody young doing this. But the ref that I reffed with the first time was extremely nice. Everybody behind the table was very nice and they were there to help me if I needed. So that was always comforting knowing that they were there behind me. But I remember standing up on that ref stand terrified, but I know the game and I know what calls are to be made and when. So that was nice knowing that I had that knowledge in the back of my mind.
So with a provisional license then to officiate, do they then normally pair you up with kind of a veteran official? Is that how it works? So you don't go in there with, you know, as they say, two rookies working, you know, maybe this game here or this game there.
Yeah. So I think it's the first 2 years, if I'm right. It's either first 2 years or until I turn 18. I'm not quite sure. But for those couple of years, I work with a veteran official. Yes.
And as far as, you know, being close to the game, you mentioned you're a volleyball kid. So this is a perfect situation for you. It allows you to stay close to the sport. So with your first couple of years of doing this, or a little over a year, I should say, is it something you really want to continue with, you know, staying involved in this profession?
Yeah, that's my goal. I also want to coach when I'm older, so I don't know if it'll be reffing until I get a coaching job, and then after I'm done coaching, end up reffing again. But I definitely enjoy it. It is so fun, and it's so nice to see the growth, even between the 7th grade teams and 8th grade teams, which is mostly who I ref because I play during high school season. So it's very fun to see that growth and see those players grow into the players they can become.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, with a provisional license, now if you didn't play volleyball, like in the fall, I just say volleyball, could you officiate like JV matches? Would they allow you to do that? Do you know or not?
I think I'm only allowed to ref freshman matches.
Okay. Still, that's a great opportunity. So here's the other question I'm going to ask with our, you know, student athletes that are part of our listening audience, and even maybe kids that are in college that haven't thought about officiating. So what do you make? This is the I think the key question here. So you officiate a junior high volleyball match, 7th, 8th grade, right? So basically 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours
Yep. At
night you're working. What do you make, you know, on a night like that?
So last year, I think it was 65, but I think every couple of years they raise it. And that was the least that I made. This year, I think the least that I've made is 75 a game, and I was offered a game for 110. So it's a large range. You most of them are around $75-$80, but it's a pretty good chunk of money for just being there for a couple hours.
Yeah, so when you say, so if there's a seventh grade match and an eighth grade match, do they give you 75 per match or they give you 75 total?
75 total.
Yeah, so, and you're around something you love too, so you stay involved in the game. So it's fun going to a profession where you're getting paid to be around.
Yes.
Is that another kind of selling point for you, you think?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So what's the big thing? Here's the like trick question I can ask you as we wind down our conversation. We're speaking with Kennedy DeBailey. She's a junior at Orion High School, has a provisional officiating license. We ran into her this week at a match at Mercer County Junior High School. Now, I think volleyball is one of those sports where people still don't know a lot of the rules. They watch, they think they know some of it, but it's one, you know, you go to a basketball game, everybody thinks they know what the rules are, right? But volleyball, I think there's a lot of education that can happen with rules and things of that nature. What is something that, you know, that you have to relay to, whether it be coaches, now you can't relay it to fans in the course of a match, but maybe here's some learning you can provide to our listening audience. What do you think is like a misunderstood volleyball rule that you can educate us on?
A lot of it, I know personally, so I'm a libero, especially not at the middle school level, but a lot at the high school level. Like when your setter takes that first ball, you're the one to get that. And a lot of that is like setting with the libero. So that's definitely a hard one. It's taken me a while to learn, and the rules continue to change. So that's definitely difficult. Another one is the double rule. Everybody hates it. It's every setter's worst nightmare. Depending on the ref you have, you're going to get called on the double or you're not. And especially it's hard once you get into postseason because they are going to be stricter on that. So that's, I wouldn't say it's a misunderstood rule, but it's definitely a hard rule to deal with throughout the season.
All right. So this part of the segment then is volleyball for dummies and me being the dummy. We can call this volleyball rules 101. So when you say double, you know, you're a volleyball expert and a volleyball pro. What does that mean, double?
So a double is when you contact the ball twice in
okay.
a row.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. What else can you tell us as we wrap up our conversation here? I'm glad you could come on the air with us today, and hopefully this will lead to some other kids to consider getting a provisional license in whatever sport and learning this trade. As Kennedy told us, you're paired with a veteran official. You do it the right way. This is the proper training, and you get the real life experience, because I think that's, you know, important to be paired with somebody that's been involved with the profession for a while. Anything else you can mention to our listening audience, Kennedy, before we let you leave us today?
Don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. I know it's scary, but it is so much fun. You will have so many people supporting you, and refs are needed. You can't go play a game, especially at a high school or middle school level, without a ref. It's an easy job, especially if you know the game and you're able to help other people enjoy the game just as much as you do.
So, and I'm assuming that it's allowed you to maybe gain an additional appreciation for officials because you've played for so long, and maybe you've looked at it from a different lens because you were just a player, but now you're a player and an official. How important has that been to you, do you think?
Oh my gosh. So last night at my game, I was standing up on the ref stand and I was like, I saw a ball go towards the line and I was like, you know, I really don't have a good angle at this. And a lot of the times we're like, oh my gosh, refs are so blind. Like me, I've played with, no offense, but terrible refs. I'll admit it. I can be a terrible ref at times, but it's so difficult, especially with the angles that you see. I feel like refs do get a lot of hate, and it's definitely made me appreciate so much more them, because you get so much criticism from parents and players even. And it's made me realize that, you know, refs don't always, they might know what they're doing, but they don't always have the best view of what's going on.
And I think that's another key point, is with personal or professional development, with whatever we do, we know we have to get better. And we know, especially early in a career, you're going to make mistakes. And even late in a career, especially like officiating, you're still going to get calls. You're going to miss a call. Is that something you've been able to accept early, that, hey, I know, you know, we're not perfect and no official is perfect. There's going to be some point where you miss a call. It's just, you know, that's how life is. Have you, do you understand that, I'm assuming, at a young age?
Oh yeah. I make wrong calls all the time. I did it last night and I was like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, it's been great to talk to you. Again, Kennedy DeBailey is a junior at Orion High School. We saw her officiating this week, a provisional license through the IHSA. Good to see you taking on the profession. Kennedy DeBailey, thanks for talking with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And you're listening to WRMJ.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work, for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner could always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WMJ and WMJ.com. Always great to visit with Mr. Kurt Gibson with the IHSA. I know he's winding down his final couple of months with the organization, but we wanted to get him on because he's involved with this provisional officiating license, and we were happy to have Kennedy DeBailey on with us today, a junior over at Orion High School, taking advantage of that. So I know, Mr. Kurt Gibson, you have to be excited when you hear kids are doing this. So let's back up and tell us a little bit about the idea about moving forward with this provisional license.
I'd be happy to. And hello, Jim, and hello to all your listeners. This idea was really one that had been really considered for a while at our offices in Bloomington. And back on January 1st of 2023, we introduced this provisional license, which is available to 15 and 16 year old high school students. And our thinking here was, we want to help drive up our officiating numbers. We want to try to fill the needs of junior high schools and community based groups. We know these 15 and 16 year olds weren't going to be ready when they jumped in to work high school contests, but we wanted to get them into the space. And so this provisional license will allow 15 and 16 year olds to license with our office at a very reduced registration fee. And then the they'll be able to maintain that very limited registration fee through the age of 21, so long as they continue to renew. We know officiating can be sort of an expensive proposition to get started. And so we wanted to figure out a way that we might be able to entice students to get involved and stay involved. And so we hit on this idea, and it's really been well received in these past, I guess, 13 months now.
Yeah. So do you have an idea of the numbers other than just, hey, you have, you know, some people reaching out and saying, hey, we're taking advantage of this and we're seeing the growth of these youngsters really participating in this thing?
We do. In fact, Kennedy, as you mentioned, DeBailey was one of our first adopters of or receivers of this provisional license. And so it's been exciting to sort of follow her career in this space. But as of the end of last week, we have had 253 students since January 1 of 23 apply for a provisional license. And of those 253 students, they've received or applied for, I should say, a total of 456 licenses. So that's exciting. And we're working hand in hand, but we're supporting the work of five high schools around the state who are offering officiating as part of a course during the school day, likely part of a PE or health class. The State Board of Education actually has an officiating class in its master curriculum. So schools are able to offer this as a way to get students involved and provide them some additional training and instruction. So we couldn't be happier with it.
That's great when you hear those type of examples. And I think the other thing, just talking to Kennedy DeBailey, one of the nice things, at least that I heard from her, is you realize that you're not in this thing alone. And two, you're usually paired with a veteran official, which I think is very important. And then getting on the job training, they're just not going to give you, hey, here's a whistle and go out and officiate, because it's not going to work. You know, that type of plan's not going to work. So the structure behind it and the pairing with the veteran officials, what I'm saying is you're really hopefully setting up these youngsters to succeed and sustain, or should I say not sustain, but grow the profession, right?
Exactly. We don't want folks to have a bad experience. And so part of the program, like you've mentioned, is to make sure that these young people are working with, I'll say veteran, but someone who's been in the space for a while, so they can not only help take them under their wing and help them navigate some of the situations that you can't really learn until you're actually officiating, but also sort of to be a buffer when they go to these games, to let the schools know, hey, we've got an aspiring official. We've even given those folks a different kind of patch, so people visually will be able to see, oh, this is sort of, if you will, an official in training. And so it's worked out well. It's worked out well for the veteran officials. It's worked out for the young people. And we're just excited about the growth of the program in such a short time.
And I think the other thing that is neat about it, it allows these kids to stay connected to the game even after their playing days. And I think really, you know, you hit on something about, you know, like this Kennedy DeBailey, a volleyball kid during the fall, loves the sport, but says, hey, here's an opportunity for me. The way the IESA schedule works, I can work these games here in the winter months. I love being around volleyball. So, and then the other thing she said, you know, it allows her to gain kind of a new appreciation for officials. I think that's important. But then what's the other thing? You want to get paid. You know, so you get exactly. You get paid being around something you really love. I think that's another neat concept in this.
It's been, like I said, it's been well received. It's really gone well. And we, you know, speaking of like people that are getting into this, I actually had a chance. I was at an officials association meeting this past Sunday in Ottawa, and another one of our first provisional licenses was for a student who's attending Henry Sinachwine High School. And this young man is primarily a baseball player, but he wanted to officiate. So he got his license in baseball and basketball. And he was 16 a year ago, just turned 17. And 17 is the age limit for when folks license to become an official. They have we'll just call it a full license. They can officiate any game that somebody will hire them to do. Anyway, this young man told me that after he'd gotten in space, gotten some success, his name got sort of, you know, talked up or whatever in the area. He worked his first varsity basketball game this past Tuesday in Galva.
Oh, wow.
And I thought
really?
That was, I thought that was a neat story. Oh, and I didn't hear any reports, so it must have gone well.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing is, you know, because let's face it, you know, when we sit at games, the one thing you can hear, somebody thinks they know what the rule is, and you're like, nope, that ain't the rule.
Right.
And hopefully, too, these kids that have the opportunity to get this professional license, they can provide some learning to other people who need it, you know, whether that may be mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa saying, no, that's not how the rule is. I know I have a provisional license. I went through the training. I think that's the other important thing. And two, I think kids are smart enough to realize that they know, you know, and even good officials tell you, hey, I don't get every call right. This doesn't happen. You know, there's going to be mistakes you make. And I think even when I was talking to this DeBailey kid from Orion, you know, I accept the fact that I'm going to miss maybe some calls here, but that's part of the learning process and career and personal and professional development and all this.
Without a doubt. And just think about the skills that they're learning through officiating that will translate later into their adult lives. So, yeah, it's just all around. Like I said a couple of times, we just couldn't be happier with how this is going.
All right. So maybe here as we're presenting this today, maybe it's the first time somebody is learning about it. So there's a 16-year-old kid listening or a parent that has a 16-year-old and they're saying, well, wait a minute, they can officiate with this provisional license. They also can have somewhat of a gainful employment because a lot of kids are busy and maybe this is a better schedule for them to work some different athletic events. So how do you go about getting the provisional license? What's the process?
A student could go to our website, which is www.ihsa.org, and they'll find a link for officials and a link for how to become an official. And down near the bottom, they'll see two choices, either this link, if you're a provisional license applicant, meaning you're, and it says specifically you're 15 or 16 year olds, or if you're 17 or greater, then you would do our normal license. But these 15 and 16 year olds will be able to complete the application. And if they've taken, and we've left this appropriately, you know, open for interpretation, if you will, if you've taken some training before you make your application, then when you sign up, your fee will only be $10. And it will remain $10 as your registration, as I mentioned earlier, through the age of 21 if you continue to renew. If you haven't taken any training, then your cost is $20. And that remains with you, again, through the age 21. A normal licensing fee is $70. So the student's saving $50 or $60 right up front. You run that over the course of 5-6 years, you know, you're saving $350, mm-hmm. $400 over that period of time. So the training piece, there are a lot of platforms out there or courses students could take. One that we've partnered with is called Ref Reps. And we've been conducting webinars for our schools over the past 18 months about Ref Reps and how they can get involved. And that's really an online officials education platform. So a number of folks are taking that as sort of their training. They go through the modules, they finish those, and then they're able to apply and they pay their $10 fee, and then they're ready. They're ready to officiate for contests up through the ninth grade level. We do let them officiate through the ninth grade, but again, as you've noted, they have to be working with a licensed official. If they're not, then they're not going to be able to get into that high school space. When they turn 17, then they're able to work at any level that they can get hired for.
All right. And anything else that you think you need to mention just about this, you know, opportunity with this provisional license?
No, I would just say if a student or a school is interested in hearing more, they can just contact us here at the IHSA office and we'll be happy to get them whatever information they might need.
All right. Well, I love watching this kid officiate at Mercer County Junior High the other day. And I should say, too, it's available for all sports. Is that right?
Yes. Any sport.
Yeah. All right. And again,
including flag football, which we'll be licensing for next year. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. All right. Again, the website through the IHSA, they need to go where to get that provisional
once
license?
They get to IHSA.org, look across the top of the homepage. You'll see a link for officials. Click on that. And then you'll find a link on the next page that says how to become an official.
All right. I don't want to bury the lead in my occupational profession here. Every time I have Kurt Gibson on, and hopefully I'd like to get him in studio before he officially exits the IHSA to have him come to Alito and we'll sit down and talk about everything. Give me something about New Boston and bass fishing. Can you tell us anything about that?
It looks like we'll be holding a bass fishing sectional tournament launching out of New Boston the first Thursday in May, which I think is May 2nd, but don't hold me to that. It's right around May 2nd.
You said sectional or regional?
Sectional. The regional sectional state finals format is going to take place beginning next year.
Okay. Well, that's some exciting news. We'll look
yes,
for that
is.
On the IHSA webpage. But great to hear that. And like I said, winding down here, final several months with the IHSA. So, again, this is a great project here with this provisional license. And, Kurt Gibson, thanks for coming on with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
You're listening to WRMJ.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Alito. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Let's talk a little high school basketball rankings today. And I guess first up, before we dial down and look at some of these different classifications, do you think people still make as much of high school basketball rankings than they did in the like 1970s and 80s and two-class basketball? And I don't know, maybe also because of the decline of newspaper coverage, maybe they don't mean as much, do they?
I think I would agree that they don't. I think oftentimes people say things like, well, I believe they're state-ranked, but I don't know what their rank is. And, you know, they're once beaten on the year, and they should be ranked in the top 10 somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, back in the day, I think you waited for that next edition to come out and, you know, with bated breath and be like, oh, look, you know, our team's in the top, you know, 10. That's awesome, you know.
Yeah, and it's, you know, trying to find the rankings every week is tough. I will tell people, if you go to the IHSA website, they've done a pretty good job where they post the Associated Press rankings each week, because that's where I got the latest copy of the rankings. I'm curious, in your part of the state, in 1A girls basketball, kind of two teams in the same conference. You know, we talk a lot about this with football in the fall, but Galena's number one in 1A. In Orangeville, I know at the football side, their enrollment pretty small because they play eight-man football. So the Galena girls basketball team ranked number two. So what about kind of those two programs in that part of the state ranked one and two in the state?
Yeah, Galena's one, Orangeville is two. Orangeville's 24-1. Their lone loss was an overtime to Rockford Boylan. Galena is, I believe, 20-1 or 21-1, and their lone loss was to Camp Point Central and Southeastern or whatever that co-op is. And that was, I believe, at the State Farm Classic after one of the Galena girls got hurt and left the game. So, yeah, you've got two of the best teams in Class 1A, 1 and 2 right now in the rankings, and they would meet up in a sectional final at Lena Winslow, if I did my math right.
All right. And then it's always interesting, too, because you're curious what the pollsters do and who the pollsters are, because I look at kind of the conference that we cover is the Lincoln Trail Conference. The West Central girls, we're talking about the West Central out of Biggsville in Henderson County. They won the regular season matchup over Annawan and then won the championship game of the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament over Annawan. And the Heat of West Central finally cracked the top 10, ranked ninth, but Annawan remains number four. So there's something to be said about kind of legacy programs. They still get the upper hand in terms of pollsters because we know about the tradition of Annawan, yet they've been beat twice by West Central. But West Central still behind him in the rankings.
Yeah, and you mentioned Galena. I mean, look at this program that Jamie Watson has put together. 2 years ago, they finished second. They had an 8-point lead in the championship game, couldn't quite close it. Last year, they finished third. So I think they are operating under that unfinished business thought.
And the only other thing I wanted to say about girls basketball today, and I was talking to my son about this, Ty Taylor at WMJ. At one time in 2A girls basketball, now Breeze Central is still number one, but Breeze Modern Day was number two in 2A girls basketball. So you have the public school in that town and the parochial school in that town, one and two in the state, right? So I would like to kind of know the backstory behind that, because that's pretty impressive basketball power when you're one and two in 2A girls basketball.
Yeah, that is incredible, and you would have to think that somewhere in that town, in that city, that they've got some great youth basketball going on.
All right, and then boys basketball. One of the things I was going to ask you about, I saw a little coverage, I think it was this week or maybe last week, there was a big matchup in Northern Illinois, Pecatonica. I've heard a lot about them this year. Of course, they co-op football with Durand. But play independently basketball, ranked number five in the latest 1A rankings. Now, they matched up, I think, with Byron earlier this week or last weekend. Did and I know it was a hotly contested game, but I believe, did Byron win that game?
Byron won 59-57, I believe. And, yeah, so those are two outstanding teams. And I think the Tigers are still unbeaten on the year, so...
Yeah, and then so also in boys basketball, so I want to circle back to the Breeze Illinois story. So we tell you about Breeze Central and Breeze Modern Day, 1-5 in girls basketball. And then you see in 2A boys basketball, Breeze Central is number one in 2A boys basketball. What do you think about that? I mean, that's pretty impressive to have, you know, those type of rankings, boys, girls, public, private, and you're at the top of the heap in state rankings. Man, that's a, again, I'd like to learn the backstory about that. That's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, that is absolutely, that's amazing. That is a basketball hotbed.
And Scales Mound still getting the attention of pollsters, Brian. They're ranked number 10 in 1A, so they continue to roll along. They've really had a good stretch of basketball there. And, of course, Coach K, a good stretch of coaching too, but they continue to you know, just pick up win after win, it looks like.
Yeah, they had a tough one the other night. They were down double digits against River Ridge, and they rallied to win that one by six. And As a side note, Thomas Herreau was honored that night as Class 1A state golf champion, and he has announced that he is going to continue his golf career at the Harvard of the Midwest, Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville.
All right. Yeah, the Cougars got the state champ. All right, that's my alma mater. Of course, I went to the Harvard of the Midwest. When everybody says, Brian, respect the Valley, for me, that doesn't mean the Missouri Valley Conference. It means the powerful Ohio Valley Conference, now home of SIUE Cougars and your Western Illinois University Fighting Leathernecks, right? And then I'll just tell our people from our local listening audience, we have a great matchup today in 2A basketball at, they call it the Bobcat Shootout, I think. So Beecher and Rockridge are playing today in boys basketball over in Beecher. So that's number 8 Rockridge against Beecher. Beecher is still one of those undefeated teams at 20-0, and they don't have football, which is interesting for me. So they celebrate homecoming during the basketball season. So he's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner can always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Broadcasting live from the downtown studios of WRMJ, Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor as we wind down Sportsline on a Saturday morning, January the 27th, and coming up here a bit later, we'll have Illini basketball from the Big Ten, 1 o'clock broadcast, 2 o'clock tip-off, Illinois taking on Indiana. I did not realize you told me who's using our WRMJ tickets today. Ty, go ahead and tell our listening audience who that is.
John Hoshite.
I hope he tweets some stuff from
I hope he's listening. I don't know if they would have left yet. Probably not. Maybe around this time they'd be leaving. I hope he's listening to Sportsline on Saturday. He normally does.
I hope he gives it to he'll get some Twitter beef going with some of the Illini like right. Beat writers and stuff. I always like that. John. I like John's observations on that. What do you make of the Illinois basketball team so far?
Well, I think that game Northwestern this week, it just was like, I just couldn't believe how I couldn't get a stop, you know. They gave up 96 points.
And that's what's so crazy about college basketball, though, too, is those, like, nights your opponent shoots well and you don't, you lose.
Right.
And it can be, I don't care who the team is. And I didn't realize, you know, until on the postgame show that night that I didn't realize, you know, just basically a week after Northwestern beat Purdue in Evanston, they lost to Chicago State, but then come back and beat Illinois. Yeah. I mean, that just tells you kind of the difference between the really bad teams and the really elite teams are they're not that far apart when you see things like that. And then, but the two best games I've seen here this year have been the women's games,
in the Ohio State-Iowa game last week. I think it was on Sunday. It was a network television game where Ohio State beat Caitlin Clark in Iowa. That was the collision game where she ran off the or somebody ran into her. But then I don't know what night it was this week. It was after a junior high volleyball game I got home. My goodness, I watched South Carolina played LSU in women's basketball. My goodness, what a game that was.
It's cool seeing like the crowds get bigger.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, it's the best, clearly the best atmosphere of any game I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Was that night was absolutely crazy, and kind of just the large personalities in that game and how they play. But anyway. All right, so a good game tonight, man. Beecher and Rock Ridge. What a treat tonight in elite high school basketball in the state. We've had a lot of those games this year. We talked about at the beginning where this station, we're going to see Breeze Central here in a few weeks. They're number one. We've seen Peoria Manual. They're number two. We've seen Byron. They're number four. And, of course, we cover the Rock Ridge and then and Beecher, who we're seeing today. We've already seen them. They're ranked five, and of course, we cover Rock Ridge. They're eight. So a great sampling of kind of small school, great basketball that you get to hear on WMJ. So this is an intriguing matchup tonight. Again, Rockets taking on an unbeaten team. Beecher, do you say 22-0?
21-0.
So around 7:30 tonight, again, the final game of a shootout. That's a tentative tip-off.
And I haven't checked this, but I believe there's three teams left undefeated, and they're one of them. I don't know how many there are. There was four this week, and I think it's down to three now.
And we've seen –
I'll check that, though, before the broadcast tonight.
And Byron's one of them.
Yes, right? Correct.
So we – and the Sherrard Tigers had them on the ropes, took it to overtime, and lost an OT to Byron. But that's a good team, and I know Byron – I don't know if they've played Rockford Lutheran yet, but I forget what Rockford Lutheran's winning streak was in the Big Northern high school basketball race. So and then Rock Falls.
Byron's coach say he's like, yeah, they tweet about it after every
game. Yeah, I'm like, well, you know they won that many games. He goes, yeah, they did. Yeah. So anyway, but so that's the team to beat apparently up in that league. And I don't know if they've played yet or not. I would think they would have played already, but who knows? And then Rockford Christian's pretty good in that league, I think
so,
right?
Yeah. And Rock Falls.
Yeah. So anyway. All right, so again, we have some good games here, and then the LTC tournament, I think, going to be fun. I hope the Eagles can take care of business, and that would be nice this year to try and win the league and win the tournament in the final year.
And take the trophy with us.
Yeah, take the Lincoln Trophy, man. I love that trophy. That's the one really neat thing about the LTC, and weather's going to cooperate, so that's good. So it's only going to take 3 months to get the LTC tournament over instead of the usual 6 months. No, it's going to take this.
Well, I'm surprised it's only a week. Like, the girls' basketball, the girls' one was scheduled to go over 2 weeks, so I don't know if what they deal with what was that. But anyway.
Can I say this and make a bunch of people mad? I think they should play the championship game at Westmer.
Yeah, that's the Lincoln Trail School.
That's the whatever you want to call
it. That's the heritage of the Lincoln Trail with Mercer County. Yeah. I know Alito was in it for, like, a couple years, but Westmer, I mean, a long history in the LDC. That'd be cool if they. I kind of wish they would do that. That would be cool.
Now, you know where you broadcast from at Westmer?
No, I couldn't even guess.
Do you want me to tell
probably
you?
Up in the corner.
You would broadcast on the side opposite of the scorer's table.
Okay.
Last row middle.
Oh, okay. I like that then. That's fine. Yeah. Middle's good.
So back in the day, you would run the extension cord, would be above you with the outlet.
Yeah.
That's where you would do it from.
Well, Coach Murray texted me this week, or he called me. He's like, hey, are you guys going to be doing any games in Joy? And I'm like, no, I doubt it. And I wanted to, but like with today, Rock Ridge wasn't scheduled to play Beecher until a couple weeks ago. Or I was going to want to do a game there just to do it, you know, but I said, no, we won't. We'll just be doing the semifinals and the championship now. And I'm sure he was worried about trying to figure out where in the world everything's got to go for over there for a broadcast.
Well, but. And do you know, Westmer hosted a boys basketball regional in the two-class system.
Oh, boy.
And
oh, my God.
The you know, and this was in the this was when Alleman was really good, and Larry Schulte was the coach. So they played Rock Ridge at Joy for the regional championship. So it was Rock Ridge against Alleman. Enjoy Illinois for the regional championship, like maybe 97, 98, somewhere around there. And absolutely bananas, the crowd.
Wow.
Enjoy.
Holy smokes.
Illinois, yep. And somebody, by the way, is so funny. some lady with about, I'd say the kid was probably about 9, just walked by the radio station. And I heard her say, I could read her lips. She goes,
oh, boy.
She goes, I think that's where the new radio station's
at. It is. You were right.
All right.
That's for me to get that big sign.
So move the championship game to Joy.
Yeah, I'm on board
with
it.
Dustin Murray.
Yeah.
You think he can
make
do it?
Make Anawan drive in Princeville. Make him go a little further. I'm sure,
way. That's like when we go to Stark County for girls basketball, you have to go past Tulane to Wyoming.
And that's what I think is funny is, like, I'm sure that, like, those schools are just absolutely thrilled. Because I think everybody plays at least one game in Joy. And, like, if I was Prince, I'd be like, really, I got to go 7 more miles. You kidding me?
Well, did West Central, though, did they play some of the games in Stronghurst?
No, it was all in Biggsville because I think they played at the elementary school.
That
too.
Is a haul from Anawan and Princeville.
Well, imagine next year at Bureau Valley, I think, isn't that?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Anyway, I was just going to say that stuff like that's funny.
Yeah. So you think Murray will move the championship?
No, but I wish they would. That'd be cool, man. I love
that's like the heritage. Like, you're right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's the true heritage of this school, Consolidated District. The roots of the LTC lie with the Westmore portion of the district, right?
And I love that gym over at the old Westmore High School.
Now, I think the first year Alito was in the LTC, I think they won it. Maybe not. I can't remember. The first year Alito went to the LTC, they won the tournament and the conference title that year, or both.
I don't know. I don't remember. The Jeff Parsons used to have the great, like, full rundown of everything,
yeah,
of all the
sad.
Past winners.
That's
and everything.
What one of the greatest things about the LTC that they lost. I mean, when he left, and I remember when he said, "Well, they're still going to do it." And I'm like, "We'll see." And he truly believed they were going to do it, and I just people don't follow through with that type of stuff.
He did a great job with that. But anyway, with this game tonight, Rockridge and Beecher, do you have a prediction tonight?
I'm going to go Rockridge 51, Beecher 45.
I was going to say Rockridge 52, Beecher 49.
Yeah, what was the... I was saying last night, if Sherrard could get to 45... I said this early in the game. I told your mother this. If Sherrard can get to 45 last night, they'd win.
Yep.
And what was the final
41-40.
Yeah. They just couldn't get there.
Yeah, and I just... Like we talked about earlier, it's just like... They've been so close in these, like, big games. When you go back to football for them and then basketball, the game with Byron, the game with Rockridge now last night, they just can't quite get over the hump, you know, where last night if they get a couple of those rolls to fall in instead of fall out, you know, you look at where you're at. I mean, if a couple of those shots rim in, they're looking at potentially being a team that's in the top 10 this week, right? I mean... They're a couple bounces away from having wins over both Byron and Rockridge, right? I mean, but that's the way it goes, you know.
Yep. All right. That'll do it for Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Again, Illini basketball in the 1 o'clock hour, then high school hoops with Rockridge and Beecher coming up in the 7 o'clock hour tonight. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.